Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 138, Quote the Raven. Piss off!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston!
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Lonic.
And Anvil.
And these two bastards here just got back from doing their little firefighter's exam.
Yes.
So much fun.
So, let's just go into what happens in a firefighter exam.
You sit down, they hand you a booklet, and you take a test. That's all we're allowed to tell you.
And then you're supposed to grab the teacher that's at the front of the room and toss him out the window.
But unfortunately, he made sure to open the window so little that you couldn't fit him out.
Well, I can imagine there would have been a big crowd for this sort of thing. And this is just in one building. I mean, there's like tons of, what were you saying, like 90 different tests going all around Massachusetts?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, just about.
So if there were 300 people that showed up at this one.
And then there was the afternoon segment, too.
So that's 600. So you times that by 90. That's over 5,400 people.
Probably, yeah.
I suck at math, so yeah, you're probably right.
We're just going to go with it.
Yeah, is that 5,400 or 54,000? 54,000. That's what it is. Anyways, so we've got some games, we got some music, we got some sports, we got some movies to discuss in today's episode.
No, we don't.
So why don't we just jump right into it? One demo that I got to try out for in the video games was this one called Dragon's Dogma. And I remembered seeing signs for this everywhere when I went to E3. It was like all around Capcom and all like the different sections where you gotta walk through and get to each different section of the convention.
Totally paid a lot of money.
Yeah. And this is like Japan's attempt at doing a Western-styled RPG, similar in the style of like Two Worlds 2 or Skyrim. Not like Final
Fantasy.
So it's
an RPG version of Red Dead Redemption.
Well, no, because it's got nothing to do with the West.
Well, didn't you just say that?
No. Western RPG, meaning North American, European.
I kind of thought you meant like Wild Wild West.
I thought Wild Wild West.
No, because, you know, Eastern RPG would be like Final Fantasy stuff.
Well, you're going to have to specify next time. Eastern world math premises or some stuff like that.
Okay.
Because you're confusing everybody.
I know, and we're tired.
All right, so apparently the premise of this video game is there's this dragon.
Oh, there is.
Who steals your heart.
No, he didn't.
Literally.
No, he didn't.
This is what it said online. So, ergo, yes, it does happen.
Hey, you're telling me that everything you read online is true?
According to the official Dragon's Dogma website, yes.
That's it. I'm going to go put on online that you're a pet monkey to King Kong and Attila the Hun.
Well, everything on Wikipedia is untrue, so.
I didn't say Wikipedia. I said online.
What you got to do is you got to find this dragon and kill it. So, in this demo, you have two different quests. The prologue quest and the countryside quest. The prologue quest kind of looks like what's going to happen at the end of the story. So it looks like this game's going to backtrack. So you see what's going to happen near the end, and then it's going to go right at the start of things. What the fuck are you doing?
Listening.
So in the prologue, you battle goblins, wicked little songbirds, where if they start singing, they hypnotize you. And then you battle a chimera. And I do have to admit, the chimera looked a lot better in this video game.
Is it a chimera or a chimera?
Chimera.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like in Wrath of the Titans, only this one was actually better looking.
So it's a chimera.
Well, in the video game, they said chimera.
They're horrible at saying names.
That's how I've always heard of it. It's got the head of a lion, the body of a goat, and the tail of a snake.
That's a chimera.
They don't get it.
You know, the mythical creature?
No, there's no such thing as mythical creatures.
Yes, there is.
And then the countryside, you defeat a griffin. Which is weak against fire attacks.
Is it a rich griffin? No.
I don't get it.
Me and Blue do.
You can also do character edits as well. So you can create your character as male or female. And then you can create your partner that's going to follow you along the quest. Now, this gameplay is really reminiscent of Two Worlds, Two in Skyrim, like I mentioned. And the graphics are really good, but it was a tad buggy here and there. Like, during the Battle of the Griffin, you're supposed to grab onto it in order to start stabbing it. But for the life of me, it took me like 10 minutes to finally grab onto it, even though I was literally right next to it.
And what... Okay, now, what was your camera angle like? Was it off to the side and, like, looking at from, like, a room or something? Or
it was
what?
More like straightforward.
Straightforward in first person, or what?
Straightforward in third person.
Ugh.
Lovely.
So, the attacks are done very well. I do like the meleeing. But as I mentioned, grabbing onto enemies was a problem. And I worry that they've been working a long time on this video game, and I'm worried that they're not going to have this part of it fixed by the time the game comes out. Maybe it'll be fixed on the patch, but probably not.
Patches. By the time it comes.
Yeah, patches. Good patches. The more and more I play this game, the more I felt like Japan is trying to just copy what we've been doing here in America and in Europe regarding roleplay games. It was entertaining, but it's really not the type of game that I would like run out and buy. So, for this demo, I could probably give it like a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay, so what you're really trying to say is wait until you find it in a rack full of like used games or something like that at some point.
Well, hopefully, because it's Capcom, I'm hoping they don't like do the, oh, you bought it used, oh, but you need a code to actually play the game.
Every game is doing that now, it doesn't matter.
It's terrible, in my opinion. It's not a smart move. It's going to turn a lot of people away from gaming. So, why don't we move on to Ninja Gaiden 3?
Okay.
So, this is the latest from the popular Tecmo series, but this one hasn't been getting the best reviews. Like, the demo that we got to try out, you go to the streets of London, and you battle through military men, and then, like, this giant mechanical spider crab thing.
Mercenaries, and then mechanical giant tech-mech. Spider from hell.
Right.
With flamethrowers and machine guns. But it kind of resembled something from, like, I want to say League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, because it didn't look like it was built too friggin' like sturdy.
Or Wild Wild West.
Exactly.
Or Will Smith.
Yep.
It looked kind of crappy. All I could say is, like, if you're gonna go be able to take out, I think, how many legs did it have? It had 6. You take out 4.
And then,
look, the core's open. Stab it, and then it would kill it. And that's the end of the demo. Or the end of the ball game, kiddies.
I kind of want to buy the game.
You would.
I do have an issue with Ryu's morals in this game.
There is no such thing as morals.
Because he honors, you know, the code of the tradition of being honorary when it comes to fighting and battling. While in here, he's more stabby, stabby, kill, kill. And there's one instance that really, really bothered me. There's this man that's begging for his life.
Mercenary.
Mercenary, and he has already tried to kill you.
If you notice one thing, the mercenaries that you're dealing with are like white coats with black, you know, face masks. This was a green coat with a, you know, black mask, if you noticed that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a different. He was actually like completely out of place. He was a complete mercenary, I guess.
Right.
So his concept was, I shouldn't have taken this job, and blah blah blah. And then every time you inch closer and closer to him, no matter what you do, you have to kill him.
Which sucks. I feel like there could have been more of like a reward system of sorts that could function towards achievements or extra upgrades if you let someone like him live.
But why would you?
But there's also such thing as repercussions because of the fact that you let him go or something like that, and he goes off and does another thing that's bad, and you end up seeing him again or something, and you probably end up killing him there.
So you mean like in Saving Private Ryan, when they don't kill that Nazi that was...
Exactly.
I mean, I could kind of understand that, but...
I mean, I've seen it in other movies, it's like, I will let you live. And then, boom, it's like that guy kills, you know, the person's family or something.
Yeah. That's what's happened in Army of Two, 40th Day. There's the part where there's the mercenary that helps you get through the main part of the mission, the first mission.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, it gets to the point where it says you gotta kill him or do this or whatever. The guy, he either... Well, you go and let him go. And he ends up getting... He ends up going to his, like, little beachside little hideaway place or something like that. And he's sleeping on the beach. And some person pops up out of the water and kills him anyways. It's kind of like one of those useless things that no matter what, when you kill him... If you kill him, no matter... He's dead. But yet, there was something else that happened. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
mm-hmm.
It was pretty bad. No matter what, that game, like... Even when you did a positive thing in that game, it came out negative. Like, you saved the girl from getting raped from that Russian guy. And she ended up being like a spy herself or something. And it was really bad.
Yeah. So there are, like, repercussions. Like, can you go back into Army of Two, replay it?
You could replay it and you could play, like, the negative and the positives. But no matter what, it's just, you know...
There's a balance.
There's a balance, yeah. And it kind of leaves you open to what if they might come out with another game, but I haven't heard a damn thing about that yet.
I hope so, because you and me were nasty at that game.
Yeah.
Now, speaking control-wise, I think you said it best. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just killing things here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, I said that for the last couple of games that I played for these demos of this week, because it was so fast. His movement was so fast. They could have at least done like a slow motion thing, so you could have seen...
Yeah.
Like... Okay, I had to turn up the light aspect on that, but I don't know if that's here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But him stabbing into people and then lifting them up, he moved so fast at the point where you thought he was at one point, he was on the other end, and you had to like click back the stick a couple times just to get him back to where he needed to be, and it was kind of like, what the hell am I doing? So I can understand why this might not be getting as much praise, but I have to say, the kills are pretty impressive. Next to doing this special move that creates this big fiery fucking dragon that comes out of his hands, like, he was like Dragon Ball Z or some shit, which is pretty crazy, and gobbles up a couple of them, and the other guys start pissing their pants, and, you know, then you go and kill them off, and...
If you want to, you had some fun with that.
I don't care, they deserve to die on that aspect. You're shooting rocket launchers and... some AK-47s at me, you deserve to die. But, yeah, I mean, the game itself, graphics are pretty fair, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
They're pretty good considering, and...
But I worry that it does not do justice of, like, the past.
I don't think it does any justice towards the series. I don't know what this is gonna really entail on the whole aspect of their, you know, the... genre of the Ninja Gaiden.
I feel like this is just taking a big giant dump on the whole series in general.
Possibly.
I don't know. Like, I somewhat enjoyed the demo, but the most of enjoyment that I can actually have with it, I can probably give it like a 2 or 2.2 out of 5 for it.
Nah, I could give it a 3.1. What do you have to say anything about it, Anvil?
I mean, thought it looked good.
I know you
good.
Didn't get to really play the thing, but, you know, it looked okay.
I mean, it looked like it was really good, and it looks like a game that I would really enjoy playing. And I think I probably will give it a try really soon. I know we're running short on time, so I didn't get a chance to play, but... Oh, one of our
Shut
games
up.
Coming up.
It's not
off
that
blue.
One yet.
No, we're not.
We're going on to Bloodforge.
I guess what? I said coming up.
No, shut
next.
Up.
It kind of pissed off Blue, so...
Yes.
Whole
so, yes, Bloodforge. So let me give you the basis of what happens...
Wait,
in,
I was still talking. He cuts me off.
Shut up.
Because I could see it in Blonick's eyes that he wanted me to.
Blanco.
We'll get to that in a bit, but Bloodforge. Let me give you the premise of the demo. So you see your character murder a deer, then go to sleep, And then you have like this vision of sorts where you're battling these types of
there's some kind Viking of narrating people. Voice with like the it looked like it sounded actually like the woman who did the voiceover or the narration in Gears of War for the Queen.
I was actually thinking more like
shut up.
What was it called?
Bookers of Mexico.
Dante's Inferno.
Same thing.
Okay, almost the same freaking voice. It's just it's I don't know. It sounded like almost the same voice.
So, you first learn how to move, and then you see something is on fire. You can't really tell what it is.
It looks like the hills.
Yep. And then suddenly you get attacked by a bunch of people. Then you have to kill them all. And then Beck and Mike goes, wow, this is really cool. What happens next? Thank you for playing the demo. And it lasted 2 minutes.
Well, when I was playing it, yes. I don't know about you.
No, it lasted 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It took me 2 minutes to beat the demo of this. And for a 1.5 gigabyte game, that kind of worries me a bit.
Well, alright. Well, you guys heard my reaction when I was playing it. It was more like, okay, I killed these two guys. Okay, this guy's bigger with those same two guys that I just killed a little while ago.
Oh no, this guy's got a giant axe.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this guy's a damn huge bitch. Alright, I killed him. And
it's
more
Baraka.
Yeah, I screamed, oh wow, it's Baraka. The guy
and his two twin blade, brothers.
He had blades on his arms or something like that, and I was just like, whoa, wow, that's not, you know, anything new. And then this guy with this weird, like, gyroscope on his head or something like that came out of nowhere.
And it was like, thank you for playing the demo.
He was wearing braces.
Yeah, it was just one big giant eyeball head. It was just an eyeball. It was not a Cyclops.
It was a fire eyeball.
It was a fiery freaking eyeball.
It was Sauron from the Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
Who?
Okay, remember in the Lord of the Rings movies, you see that giant glowing eye in the tower?
Okay, I know this one.
He thinks that I watch the movies.
You would watch the movies.
I've never seen them.
You would like the little dildo baggins and shit. Oh, wait, that's the porn. I'm sorry. Softcore porn, I'm sorry.
Lord of the Cock Rings.
No, it's Lord of the G-String. Anyways.
Wait. Why don't you explain to our viewers how you know this?
It's called Skinemax. Because you just, like, flip around and, like, pop up and you just look at the names. It's really... You know, like, how they had, like, The Devil Wears Prada? This is The Devil Wears Nada. It's just, like, you know, they come up with the most ridiculous names and you have to laugh and then you change the channel because it's just...
You mean like the time we were flicking through the channels and Booty and the Beast popped up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Star Wars.
Yeah, it was...
Poker really Hot Ass?
Alright, anyways, off topic, let's
Pokemon.
Go back. Let's go back. Alright, so...
I do have to give it up for
I that. Don't understand the whole concept of the name Bloodforge. I mean, I know that there was a lot of blood, like, flying around the screen and stuff like that.
As you're hacking out legs.
But it wasn't like, okay, this sword is, filled, like, you know, built out of blood or something like that. You know, it's just regular steel or something. It just, I don't know, I just felt like it was kind of like, okay, this is an okay game. I just don't know if I'm kind of getting bored of the hack and slash.
It's yeah, that's kinda, what I'm worried about.
All I could say was, all you had to do was butt match, put the stick towards the guy you were going to kill, and you just F him up automatically. It was just one of those things.
Yeah. I do like the shaded world look. It kind of reminds me of those old heavy metal comic books. Mm.
But when I was noticing when they were, I know it was just the demo, but the video aspect of it, when they were showing the first part where he does kill the deer and stuff like that, that there was kind of like, it felt like there was a little bit of lag and stuff. I felt like there was some kind of issues with like the graphic aspect and the interaction with the character and the actual environment, so... But, like, once you went into the regular mode of, like, running around and it went back to normal or something like that. But I don't know. It was just kind of weird. I know it has NVIDIA, but I think NVIDIA's always been, like, the best for graphics next to, you know.
And they also use the Unreal Engine, too.
Yeah. Which is kind of depressing because I was like, what the hell happened? I guess the guy from who does Beard there.
Yeah, Twisted Pixel?
Yeah, for Twisted Pixels, got something going. Apparently, you know, he challenged them. They're not doing their job.
Yep. But, I mean, just 2 minutes of gameplay is really hard to judge what to expect from a game. I feel like this trial might be covering up the fact that it might be a bad title.
Mm.
What do you think?
I think if I really had just, like, somebody giving me the money to just try out all these games, and I would just go at it and see how far I could get without getting to the point of either boredom, getting pissed off because I keep getting killed because of some random stupid bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I find with a lot of these games that are like that. It's like there's always this one stupid random bullshit thing. It's like kind of like Spyro the Dragon. There's always some random thing that would just come out of nowhere and be like, surprise, you're dead! And then you're like, what? Really? I just got killed by that little thing and I've been killing everything else on the planet? Or, you know, it pisses me off when it... Like, it was like that, what's his name? The Jack Black game there.
Brutal Legend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Brutal Legend, there was... When I was playing a couple of the things on that, it felt like I got stuck on certain things where I shouldn't have gotten stuck on, you know? It kind of sucked for me. But for this game... I gave it cool on like the killing aspect, the blood, you know, the blood and all that other fun stuff. You know, I give that kind of like a thumb up for that one. But for the most part, as a rating, you know, all together, it's looking like probably a 3.4 in that aspect. I could give it respectably a 3.4. I don't know, because if I got a little bit more time with the game on the aspect of like where I was going or what the actual thing is besides just like, oh yeah, he was a warrior back in the day or something like that, and then he just hunting, he's just living his life, trying to live it like normal, and then, bam, out of nowhere, these assholes start coming back and trying to kill him or something like that.
Yes.
Which makes perfect sense.
They burn down his
world. Yeah, they just burn and piss on his ashes or something like that of his environment, whatever. Yep. But yeah, they just, I don't know, man.
Like, I can
it's kind of, I guess we're getting to the point where we're just hard-pressed for, like, really good games or...
And originality.
Stories or originality. Even though that we've had so much originality from beforehand, like, from cartoons to movies to whatever else and stuff like that, that have not been transcended to the aspect of video games, like, you know?
Yeah.
I know, the Bourne series came with the Bourne Conspiracy game, but yet that still wasn't long enough for my taste. It needed more... It didn't need more filler, it needed the meat. It, like, you go and go to Fuddruckers and you get, like, get a whole friggin', like, a pound, you know, burger. You expect to get the whole pound burger. You're not, like, you know, you're not expecting to get, oh yeah, I ordered a pound. Oh, yeah, well, the stuff that burnt off, it brought it down to, like, half. It's like, what? You know, like, seriously? You just used it on a grill, you know? It's not burning it off on a
stove. I mean, it's like when you go to a restaurant, you order a steak, you know, you want the steak. You don't want, you know, five sides of mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Right.
To cover the steak. And you'd be like, where's my steak?
Yeah.
But it's I don't know.
I fear that this game is just going to be just nothing but filler. Just hack and slash, go to the next area, hack and slash, go to the next area.
But all I could say is with me right now, it's like, well, I mean, I think the other game that I could remind myself is Darksiders. Darksiders was another one of those ones.
Well, at least that gave you 90 minutes of gameplay for that demo.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of these days.
Was it Darksiders, or what was the other one that was, Dante's Inferno, that was another one, too.
Yeah.
That was an interesting setup on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like the camera angles. That was my one fucking pet peeve with that one.
It reminded me too much of God of War. Like, it was like a God of War clone to me, in my opinion.
Yeah. Then there was
There's so many
games we could go on about and stuff like that that were kind of like this one, the Bloodforge game, but it's just one of those things where you just... I guess you gotta go with it. Right now, I'm looking forward to just Ghost Recon and,
Sniper Elite.
They put my money down on both of those games, so we're just waiting for those to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to steal Sniper Elite.
Because you're an asshole.
Now, did you get the pre-order so you can kill Hitler?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, at least I hope so.
I want to kill Hitler.
I just did it online because I'm just tired of going to the stores.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I was just like, GameStop, just send it to my house. I'm tired of coming to the store because you guys are assholes. I mean... No offense to Senyumont, I love her, but it's just sometimes it's just the company.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, I don't know if I could stay in GameStop, I don't know if I'm going to buy from them anymore. Exactly. Shut up.
So why don't we move on to the game that just made Blowhawk up and quit?
Oh, you mean The Walking Dead? Yeah, that was.
Oh no.
The Walking Dead. Kick The Walking Dead, or you're gonna die.
Deep Black.
Episode one.
Okay, Deep Black episode one. This is a recent PC port. Like, the full version is available on PC right now, which makes me wonder why they didn't just release the whole thing as a physical copy on Xbox.
Is it a Steam setup?
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably why, because the concept of going from PC to console, the stuff on PC, there's so much stuff. I mean, it might not look that much, but when you go from PC to Xbox is like, damn, that's a huge bitch, you know?
Right, but what I'm saying is this is being split up into episodes, whereas the whole entire Deep Black is already available to play on PC. Well, so why didn't they just release this video game as a physical copy on the console?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like asking, like, why did they do Half-Life 2 with episode 1, 2, and 3? Or, well, 1 and 2, I can't remember.
They haven't done 3 yet.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think they're going to do 3. They're going to just go to Half-Life 3. Right.
Yeah.
And I hope there's going to be another Team Fortress, but I don't want to wait, like, forever.
I know.
Bastards.
I hope I'm not waiting forever either. So in Deep Black, the demo that you're given, it's giving you the tutorial and first section of the first level. And the tutorial teaches you the basics, you know, how to crouch, how to aim, how to shoot, and then how to maneuver underwater and use your harpoon in order to infiltrate.
No, hack.
Right, hack into things. In the first level, you discover the soldiers are actually hired by government and corporate contractors, meaning, you know, something's higher above. It's not like some sort of drug or terrorist group. It's something happening within your government. But Blahnik didn't get that far because of some voice actress who pissed him off. I won't say...
No comment. Fuck you.
I will say I did like the underwater battle elements in this game because it adds something we don't often see in third-person shooters.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't add the concept of being an underwater Iron Man. So this is basically if they had that character, what's his name there? The fish guy from...
Abe Sapien from Hellboy?
No. Well, yeah, that's too. But I'm talking about... I'm talking about Justice League.
Oh, Aquaman.
Yeah, if they had Aquaman with this suit set up, then he'd be a little bit more badass instead of just talking to fish.
We could use whales!
Yeah, right. Try to do that on land. Yes.
For an indie developer, the game looks pretty good. I know it can't compete with like some of the high-end titles out there that are third-person, but for an indie developer with... made by just a group of people, not like a whole company of developers.
Nimrods.
It looks very good. I will say, though, I had some issue maneuvering with the jetpack underwater because of the way the control's set up is you gotta move with the left stick,
yeah,
and then you gotta aim with the right stick, okay, and then in order to use the jetpack, you gotta push down on the Y button, which, you know, kind of mangles with your fingers time to time.
Okay, so the one thing that you have to, really just to explain in the easy part, your horizontal movement is with your left stick, and your up and down is with your right stick. And I did have a little bit of the issue with the fact of trying to control him. Like, I thought he was already leveled off, but he was going upwards, I guess, in the aspect, and then I had to point him down, and he kind of went a little bit too fast to go down, and I don't know, it was kind of weird when I was playing it.
I like doing the kills with the harpoon, though, because what happens is, if you see one of the soldiers, you harpoon them down, you pull them, and then you just, like, shank them until, like, they gargle in their own blood and die underwater.
Oh, fantastic.
And I feel like this game does have some sort of promise on Xbox. I know it hasn't been getting the best reviews on PC, but maybe they might have fixed a couple things for the console version.
Never.
Maybe.
No. Okay,
maybe. You never know. So I can give the demo for this one 3.9 out of 5. And I'm wondering what Volani's going to give it.
0.1.
Wow, you actually bumped it up from the negative 0.
I was going to be nice. Son of a bitch. All right, stupid voice actors. detrimental things back in the day of relationships.
Let's just...
The video game called him Blanco.
It reminded him of an ex-girlfriend.
Who used to call him Blanco. And yet, we have yet to stop calling him Blanco since it happened.
Yes.
Thank you, Blanco.
Why don't we move on to the final game on the list. The Walking Dead Episode 1 from Telltale Games, the same guys who did Sam & Max, the Back to the Future ones, the recent Jurassic Park games, the Strong Bad, Homestar Runner ones, and a couple other ones. They're even working on a new King's Quest title.
King's Quest?
King's Quest.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, in the demo for this one, you had to infiltrate a house, check what was on the answering machine,
find the walkie-talkie.
Find a walkie-talkie. Kill a zombie.
Zombie babysitter.
Yeah. Save the little girl and get out of the neighborhood before the zombies eat you.
That's it?
That's like a sliver, apparently, of episode one.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
You do have to admit, though.
They're going to make a lot of money off this game if they do it right.
Well, I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Okay, hold on. So you're saying episode one is 400 Xbox Live points, correct?
Yes.
So episode two is going to be probably another...
400. So it'll be like...
There was how many on the screen?
Five.
No, I saw more than that. I saw seven. I thought I saw seven.
No, it's five parts.
Are you sure?
Because yes.
Jesus, that's a lot of Xbox Live points. I'm sorry. I think if you do this correctly, if you just wait it out, people, I'm telling you, this is the proper way to do it. Just wait it out, and then... There's going to be one thing that it's just going to come together and it's going to clump together and say, here, buy it for this many Xbox Live points all together every episode.
Well, you can do that with PS3 and PC, but for some reason you can't do that for the Xbox version.
I've done it with a couple of games. Like, I popped in St. Rose recently and they had a couple of the upgrades and stuff like that, and I decided to buy the Xbox Live points. I mean, to buy all the updates and stuff like that. And instead of, like, each update was $560, and then there was three updates. If you're doing 560, that would have been like 1500, and then they had a special deal or something like that for 1200. So I saved like 200 or 300, you know, Xbox Live points just doing that.
But I'm just looking at this because they have what is called the Almost Everything Pack for $44.99. You get all five episodes of The Walking Dead, Sam and Max seasons 1 through 3, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, Law and Order, Hector, Puzzle Agent 1 and 2, and the Strong Bad Games vs. Cool People.
Oh, for how much?
For $44.99.
Jesus.
Originally $115. And that's not a bad deal. That's for, I think, for PC.
Yeah, that's... Dude, Steam has had the best, like, deals. And I'm so aggravated because of the fact that I don't have a working PC that could handle the graphics portion.
Well, PC and Mac, but... Yeah, I understand your...
Dilemma.
Your dilemma, yes.
Actually, I'm working on redoing my laptop over again right now, but I doubt it's going to work in the way I wanted to. But I did get a 500 gig hard drive with 7200 RPM, and I'm hoping to run an XP setup on it instead of Vista or Windows 7.
Or wait for bastards. Windows, or Windows 8 or...
No! Windows 8, I'm sorry, but no. No way.
So...
Can't make me.
I will admit, I think this game will play better on a Mac PC setup because there's that whole... There's another control aspect.
I think, yeah, it needs more of along the lines of a keyboard and mouse setup.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that when you're using your arrow keys or your ASW... Holy boobies. Anyways, ASW... Whatever the fuck it is, on the thing, and you're able to do it that way, and you're able to control his movements from straight forward, left to right, and then you're able to control by the mouse of like where you want to put them instead of the aspect of the X and Y axis on the controller joysticks. It's usually a little bit harder to do it that way,
right?
Unless you gotta trim the sensitivity on the options to the point where you can really get into where you like them. But yet again, it depends on what kind of person you are to want to play this game. And
yeah, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead,
okay, I'll give it a respectable rating from what I played. Besides that voice acting part where I really hated it, but for Deep Black, I'll give it a fighting chance of a 3.8
for Walking Dead episode one.
Deep Black.
Okay.
Just to make fun of that one, but no, also the Walking Dead aspect, because I forgot where I was. Walking Dead, I tripped out for a second. It's okay. I thought I was having a mini stroke. Anyways, for the Walking Dead aspect, I didn't like the actual control. I didn't like the control.
Me neither. I think it was the weakest aspect.
The weirdest camera angles ever. Like, when I saw the first camera angle where it was far away and I had to control the guy, and then it finally moved up close, and I was just about to say, okay, well, at least I'm closer now.
Yeah.
But then when you're having to move the little cursor around just to press the buttons on the D-pad, just, like, especially when the zombie was attacking you and you're trying to... I was kind of like, okay, alright, it's moving too fast now, like, damn it, why can't I put the cursor over its head and kill it or something? It was just...
Yeah, because then one wrong slip of your...
thing, and you're dead.
Yeah.
Especially being the character that you were, that he already was basically injured because he came over the fence and the zombies were trying to come and get him, and he kind of got saved from some gunfire or something like that came off of the corner, and the zombie's were like, okay, that sounds a little bit more interesting.
Yep. I do have to say the game does look exactly like the comic book, the graphics-wise.
I can't say about that because I didn't get to the comic book yet. But
well, you can tell by like the covers, if you've ever seen the covers of the comic book.
No.
Never.
But I enjoyed it. I'm probably going to go for the full version of the Walking Dead video game. I can give it like a 4 out of 5.
From what I was able to play, that little Clementine was an asshole. But I could give it... Fine, I'll give it a 4. 4 respectively. But yet, I'm still having an issue with the controlling aspect. I didn't like the controlling aspect. I didn't like the video camera aspect. But yeah. I guess if you love The Walking Dead, I guess it fills the void for you. If, you know, if it goes towards more of the comic book. Because people still are kind of like in the midst or in the air because of the fact that they either liked the show or they didn't like the show.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the season's already ended in that show, I guess.
Yeah, well, the next season starts in October of this year, I think. So, alright, we're finally done with video games.
Sorry, I'm sleeping.
So why don't we move on to The Raven, the movie that we saw this week. Starring John Cusack as Edgar Allan Poe, in a film directed by James McTeague, who also did V for Vendetta and Ninja Assassin.
That's where I figured that shit from. Yeah. V for Vendetta, definitely.
Although I do have to say, from the guy who directed those two films, it really didn't have the same sort of style that he's known for, you know what I mean?
Shut up, I saw it.
Hey, this is loosely based on a true story.
Well,
loosely, like
extremely loosely, like your shoes untied type of loosely.
No, it wasn't. Edgar Allan Poe was in Baltimore. He fell in love with a woman. He was found on a bench, tied up with some Reynolds, and he died.
Right. That's the true part of it. But everything else about this movie is...
You don't know that. But nobody knows what happened.
Well, then the stories were...
From historical records or whatever that we were able to try to obtain or whatever, the guy that got killed by the pendulum aspect, that was what's his name there, the other fellow writer or something like that, that wasn't his...
Griswold,
yeah.
But who then apparently actually wrote the obituary of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of a mystery in that sense.
Maybe he wrote it before that whole thing, hoping that Poe died.
Well, when they showed his body, like, the aspect when he was dead in the bed, in, like, the actual bed, he looked like a wax figure. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Let's get into the premise of the film. Someone is murdering people via the techniques used in Edgar Allan Poe's tales, and then the murderer winds up kidnapping Poe's beloved Emily, played by Alice Eve, and says he will murder her if he doesn't figure out his clues, as it were.
She's hot.
She was.
Her eyes were, like, piercing. They were wicked blue, and there was green. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy, Luke Evans, who played the detective, that was kind of... He was in Immortals, Three Musketeers, Clash of... Oh, that's where I remember him from. Clash of the Titans. Sorry, yeah, yes. He was in Clash of the Titans.
But see, you know, his girl, you know, he referred to as his Annabelle Lee. Which, you know, if you're... Poe fan, you understand.
Right.
No.
Fuck you, Blanco.
Emily gets kidnapped. More murders happen.
He almost said murdered.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, I liked how they weave Poe's stories into the murders, for the most part. But then, I'm trying to find the best way to put this without spoiling it. I felt like the ending was just kind of pushed out there.
Why?
Like, it wasn't a Gatsby.
So are you talking about, pushed out there, like, cliched, or just, like, is it just, it's been done? Yeah. What?
More like, oh, here it is. It's without a single unveiling. Like, when they discover who it is that's doing the murders, it wasn't a, oh my gosh, it was, oh, why didn't they notice that before?
No, actually, if you do remember, he thought it was somebody else until he found that person dead. And then he realized who it was. Remember, he originally thought it was, Boss Man, until Boss Man's dead with his hands cut off.
But you don't want to spoil anything right now.
Right. Well, anybody could be Boss Man.
No.
That's why I said it the way I did. So, but it really did, give a surprise. And then when he told him how it was, and he pulled the story out, so he had to think, hey, there we go. And if you have no clue about Poe's writing, then, you'd still, wait, where is she? That doesn't help us.
So, what did you think of the performances in this movie? Because, going into it, I know that John Cusack had the look. I still feel like it. Even after seeing the movie, I still don't think he had the voice of Poe.
I think he did a good job.
He did do a good job. But just the voice of John Cusack.
I just don't know if we could really say if we know what Edgar Poe could talk like or whatever.
Because whenever...
He could have been like the butchest sounding man in the world with the tiniest body or something like that. Or he could have sounded like he was from friggin' Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, you can't figure out what the hell,
right,
how he sounded. But through his writings, you could understand where he was going. Now, the aspect of the fact that with the murders that were going on in this movie, and forced him to come back into the writing and aspect of it, I don't even think that he did write any other stories after that aspect. He just became into writer's block when he was in. But it kind of was just one of those things, if it was a what if, This whole movie's a what if. But just to get back to the characters and stuff like that, I think probably one of the best characters in here was played by Brendan Gleeson. And that was the guy who was the big heavy hitter.
You see? You. What? Brendan Gleeson could be in a movie as a corpse. And
yeah, he'd be the he was fucking good.
Brendan Gleeson was an amazing corpse in this movie. He didn't move, didn't breathe.
How about in Troy? How about in Troy? Did you see Troy? Do you understand what... No, you don't. Troy, he was the brother in Troy and Brian Cox, and he got killed.
Yeah.
You showed me the movie.
No, you didn't.
Yes, you did.
Shut up.
You shut up.
I don't remember.
What? I just felt like Brendan Gleeson's talents were kind of wasted in this movie.
Well, I mean, his main he wasn't like a main character. He was just kind of off to the side.
I know.
And he was the father of the girl that...
I felt like anybody could have done that role. That's the thing. It wasn't like a thing that only Brendan Gleeson could have played Emily's father. Yeah, but so do a lot of other big British actors.
Doesn't matter British or what.
I'm just wondering why they
Stephen Fry could have played him.
For the other police officer there, the Oliver, who was playing John Cantrell, it was Oliver Jackson Cohen, and I was kind of like... I couldn't see him as an old time style police officer like they had for Baltimore. I just couldn't see it that way. But I guess he was able to pull it off somehow. I don't know, just kind of a mixed bag of characters here, or actors and actresses.
Yeah. If I recall too, this movie was supposed to be, The Raven. This whole aspect of Edgar Allan Poe solving mysteries was supposed to be a television series. I remember hearing about this a couple of years ago, but it got pushed away for some reason, and I guess they found the story idea and decided to turn it into a movie instead. I don't know, what were your thoughts on this film? Because I felt it was okay, but I felt it's not the type of movie you rush out and go see in the movies.
I did, and I enjoyed it.
I've I don't know. I see what confused the shit out of me because of the fact that the time period aspect on it, it almost made me felt like I was watching that they were somewhere over in London. When they kept on mentioning Baltimore, I was like, oh, fuck, that's right, we're in Baltimore, not freaking London. Because that was one of my issues, was as like just the environment aspect was, I don't know if I could really picture Baltimore like that, like London at that point, but that's just me. But to go out, I mean, we had a couple other movie selections this weekend, and this is probably the only one that was like proper. I mean, next to Safe, and I was kind of, I was still like, I don't know, that should just have been like the fourth movie of Transporter or something. Because that's basically what I felt with that setup, but... But with me, I don't know if this is, like, everybody's real, like, serious, you know, just, like, oh, I gotta run out and see this. I mean, everybody's real attention...
I feel like this
attention span is on Avengers, and that's coming out next week, or, well, when you get this Tuesday, it's coming out...
Friday.
Thursday or Friday. But from my understanding, it's just, you know, I don't know if this is just gonna be one of those things that falls in the deep end and sinks to the bottom because of the fact that it's put out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
If this was put out maybe wintertime, it might have done a little bit better, but...
Right.
But right now,
like maybe
there's nothing going on that was big that... Like, I can understand that there was, like, fads that would come back and forth of, like, Edgar Allan Poe. Like, sometimes just, like, there's, like, probably Edgar Fest or something like that at some point. And I don't mean... Goddamn Edgar from, or Edward or something like that from Twilight. I'm talking about Edgar Allan Poe. Like, some kind of shit will just, you know, pop up randomly and they'll be like, yay, Edgar Allan Poe, let's celebrate him.
Yeah, I know there's like an anniversary down in Baltimore for his death where people gather at his gravesite.
Yeah, something like
that. I want to go to that.
You would.
Well, you know, he was born here in Boston.
Yeah.
Right.
So he is a bastard.
He was in this movie.
But yeah, for the most part, I just don't think this is one of those, like, oh shit, Edgar Allan Poe's in the movie theaters and Raven, let's go now and see it.
No, what I don't mean, think that's it. What I did.
Well, he and I.
I'm just saying I liked the movie, but I was just saying the concept of not the everyday person. And you're not the everyday person.
No, I'm
you're awesome.
So, I think I can, for me, it's not good enough for a 3, but it's a lot better than a 2.5 rating. So I think I gotta go in the middle here, like, average it out to, like, a 2.8 out of 5 for me for this movie. Because, like I said, I would rent it. I wouldn't rush out to pay $12 to see it in the movie theaters.
Which we did.
Yeah.
And really,
we got to sign Director's Hall, and there was only... us three and another guy and some random woman that walked in about, what, 30
minutes?
Third of the way into the movie.
I wanted to beat her up.
I wanted to beat her. I wanted to, like, bring her to the ticket guy and be like, did she have a ticket? Did she really have a ticket for this movie, or did she just walk in?
I don't know.
But, retrospect, yeah. 3.9. I could give it a 3.9, respectively. It's I can't break it into the 4. I can't give it an A-. Can't even really give it a fart either. For the most part, it was good, but it also had points where I was trying not to fall asleep. But yeah, it was very interesting aspect of how Edgar Allan Poe could have, you know, met his demise more or less because of the fact that they never knew his final days.
Right.
But that was because of the fact he wasn't writing it down on a piece of paper anymore. It was just, I'm going to randomly get around. He probably got fucking drunk and some guy poisoned his shit or something like that. And he's just like, it was Reynolds. Reynolds with Fields and...
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
I don't know.
Maybe it was the bartender.
It could have been the bartender.
But you know what? This guy, he will never pay back his tab. Why bother?
Yeah, fuck that guy.
4.5.
You would.
Fuck you both.
You love John Cusack's cock. The facial expression was great. What is that?
I do not like Joan Cusack's cock. She's a very butch looking man.
Okay.
You gotta remember, I am an Edgar Allan Poe fan, so to me, this movie was awesome.
You gotta remember that two out of the three just took a firefighter's exam. We're fucking tired.
Yeah, that shit was 4 o'clock draining. In the morning.
It looks like you both now have your second wind, so why don't we move on?
Whoa, whoa, how did we get a second wind already? I'm sitting here hitting myself in the head with a necklace.
Where does you're going to have a second wind because it's sports, bitch.
Fuck.
Yes.
I gotta go take this.
What's happening in the world of sports? Shall we rip off the bandage that is the standing cup?
Come on. Really?
Get over the worst part of it. You're an
asshole.
I'm not... Listen, don't you usually want the bad news before you want the good news?
It depends.
So what's better, the bad news or the good news in this case?
Well, see, it depends on the situation. Because, you know, if a girl's like, hey, baby, I want to sleep with you. All right, I'm going to take that good news when you're done. By the way, I'm pregnant. Fuck! You get it?
Right.
This is that situation. We have all that good news over here, like, baby, I want some. I'm like, yeah, go. And then you're like, throw out the whole I'm pregnant. No.
Oh, so the Bruins?
See, he walked in and knew exactly what we were talking about.
Yes, okay.
All right, so we went to Game 7 against Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
And then we went into overtime. And then Bergeron almost got in the net. But then, when that guy slid in front of him, goes, and then, the block bounced off one of Tim Thomas, and then, the guy Ward put it in the net. So we lost. Okay, no more.
No more?
No more.
Alright, so, why don't we then talk about the Celtics being in the playoffs?
Yay! Okay, so, the Celtics, they ended during the season with a win.
Why are all your notes written? Why are your notes written in crayon? By the way, with little pictures.
He's special.
My nephew helped me. He turned two. All right, so I'm all serious now. I'm done joking around. So the Celtics, they started the playoffs very well. Well, they're getting ready for the playoffs against the Hawks, and we actually just beat them. So good luck to them. I'm not gonna spend too much time because I think we're running short on time here. We just have to wait for the playoffs. I want to move into stuff that I can talk a little bit more about. All
right, we'll talk about it.
Red Sox, they're on a 5-game winning streak.
For once.
Shut up.
Wait, so they got all naked and ran on the field? That sucks.
David Ortiz is actually second in all of baseball with his batting average, which is amazing.
How's the home runs?
They're okay.
God damn it. That means they suck.
Hey, he's still hitting the ball.
Right.
So fuck you!
That's what she said.
I gotta do this before my battery dies, but shut up.
Well, then do it.
Well, you keep on interrupting.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, we actually just came off a couple series with Minnesota and Chicago, and we are winning. Ladies and gentlemen, we are putting this together. And then most of them weren't even close games. We just won 10-3, 10-2. 13 to fuck you. Yes?
Okay, because I raised my hand, so I did not interrupt you.
Yes.
Okay? I have a feeling that the Red Sox are going to do really good till midsummer. And then they're going to fuck up. Because
that's how they always do it.
This is how they always do it. I don't think that... Wait, why are you stabbing me with a bandana on my ass? Stop it.
Bandana?
No, banana.
You said bandana.
Okay, fine. Bandana on my arse. But anyways, I just feel like it's going to be the stock market all over again.
You know he's not MacGruber, right?
No, it's a pineapple.
Oh, no, no.
No, no, that was Hitler celery. In fucking...
A celery, and when I say pineapple, I'll say in Little Nicky.
Yeah, thank you. All right, go ahead.
All right, so, you know, we're just going to watch and see how it goes. It's still early on in the season. We're only about 20 games in, so time goes. Now let's get to what I'm looking forward to talking about.
Looking at rubbing his nipples.
What?
Big giant boobies.
The NFL draft. Now, we came into this with only 4 picks.
No.
We made a little bit of... First round, we traded up twice. Well, actually, we came in with a few more picks, but we traded those away to move up a couple times and left us with 4. Then we traded one of our seconds to move in, and then we traded our 5th. So now we actually have 1 in the 6th and 2 in the 7th. But we got some nice picks. And I'm really happy about this. And finally addressing, we have only picked defensive players. This is what we really need. All right, in the 3rd round, with the 90th pick in the NFL draft, the Knowing the Pages drafted from Arkansas defensive lineman Jake Burquet.
Burquet.
No, B E Q U E T T E.
Hey, Frenchie, say it right.
2A?
Fuck you. In the second round, with the 48th overall pick, Patriots selected Illinois' free safety, Tavon Wilson.
Tavon Wilson.
Yes. So, you know, we addressed our safety need. In the first round, 25th pick overall, the Patriots selected Alabama linebacker Dante Hightower. This kid is a thoroughbred.
Hightower.
He is nasty.
Hightower.
Yes, Hightower. And we actually brought in last week Tim Hightower, the running back, which would be really cool to have two Hightowers on our team.
Too bad Bob Smith died.
Oh.
I miss Hightower.
I might have to go home and watch that movie now.
Yeah.
All right, now this is an interesting one, and you know, unfortunately, by announcing this one, I'm going to have to make a really cool announcement, which will move us into our segue, which everybody can finally talk about.
Yeah.
Getting punched in the face.
In the first round, with the 21st pick overall in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots selected defensive end from Syracuse, Chandler Jones. Now, people are like, oh, Andrew said this is interesting. That doesn't sound interesting. Well, Chandler Jones is a bred ball player. This is what he knows. This is what he does. One of his older brothers, Arthur, is a defensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens. That says, hey, you know, this kid might know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his other brother. That's kind of interesting.
Which moves us into...
Hey, don't make the announcement. I need to make an announcement, then we move in.
I thought you were about to make the announcement.
I was pausing for dramatic effect.
Dramatic effect.
But he's ruined my dramatic effect.
Dramatic effect again.
His older brother, John, is the UFC light heavyweight champion, John Bones Jones.
Boom, 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 do, do, do.
Which, you know, it's really cool, and now that moves us into last week's fight, which headlined... Sugar Rashad Evans versus John Bones Jones. All right, Blue, why don't you throw some of your favorite fights?
Actually, I have my favorite back-to-back fights.
All right, let's hear them.
Okay. There were two fights that ended in the first round back-to-back with knockouts. Miguel Torres versus Michael McDonald, which McDonald defeated Torres via a knockout at 3 minutes, 18 seconds in the first round. And then it went into Brandon Schaub versus Ben Rothwell, where Rothwell defeated Schaub via knockout in 1 minute, 10 seconds.
Those are interesting.
I have to say, Schaub, that was one of the fights that I actually enjoyed that night because of the fact that there was knockoutage. There was just... It wasn't boring. I know it lasted like only a few seconds, but that was the thing is that guy's a beast, and he dropped weight just to bring himself down, and he's still, like, he just rocked that kid, like, and that's the only thing is I feel like when fighters have to really drop serious weight and everything like that, and they have to get to the point where they're fasting so much to lose that weight, they lose all that strength and everything like that that they're able to harness when they're in their normal weight and stuff like that. So for him to come down, and he looked actually phenomenal, and when he just beat the shit out of that kid. Mm-hmm. He dropped him in like 2 seconds, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really say too much on the aspect of the actual Jones and Evans fight for my aspect because I had to bring my nephew's girlfriend home a little bit early. But from my understanding, we didn't miss much because the fight went all the way in.
Well, John Jones did throw out a punch that nobody's ever seen before. He threw the elbow jab.
Yeah.
You know, it was a pretty shot, so... you know, I'm glad I got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was truly amazing. Sugar Rashad still acts like the little cocky bitch that he is. I'm glad he lost.
Well, that's why I had a lot of people said, who do you want to win? I said, Jones. They're like, why do you want Jones to win? Because Evans is a bigger, you know, showboat bitch than anybody. And they said Jones was even worse, and I said... I don't think there's any way that anybody could be any worse than showboating than Evans.
Yeah.
No way.
There's no way.
Agreed.
But it felt like, you know, one of those things where, you know, from my understanding is in the second round, Asshole Evans got a shot off on Jones, and Jones was kind of rocked. And Evans did a whole, you know, taunting of him, like, doing the shock, you know, look or something like that. But Jones was able to hold off and bring it to the third and just kept going. And then it went to a decision, which kind of, I don't know. I felt like for him to get, like, to make it a real true championship, you really have to not let it go to decision. You just have to drop the guy or tap him out or do something along the lines that makes him not able to come back.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when you sit and look at it, you think about championship fights. You know, it's supposed to be the two best competitors in that fight, so taking it to a decision just shows that they're both that good that they were able to do it.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? Rematch in the near future?
Oh, God, no. I don't want it another goddamn, like, what, Shamrock versus Ortiz. I don't want it like that.
Jordan is, I'm looking forward to John Jones' next opponent. And that's the one I'm going to wait for. I know Blue's going to love the opponent.
Yeah, I like the opponent very much, so I don't want to say the name. You say the name.
Because you don't know the name.
No, I know the name.
You know the name?
I know it.
Really?
Do I want to say it? Can I say it?
You can say it.
Anderson Silva?
No.
Okay.
So what? You don't know
it. What? Did you just say it right there on the phone?
No, it's Dan Hendo Henderson.
Oh, right, I forgot. That was a skippy.
Strike Force light heavyweight champion, or yep, technically former, will get a shot at UFC gold.
Awesome.
Which I think will be an amazing fight because Hendo is an Olympic wrestler and John Jones is a good wrestler. So if this gets to the ground, this could be a truly amazing fight.
Awesome.
There's some of the undercards that we got a chance to watch look really good too.
There was one that really stood out for me. I believe it was the Hominick versus Yagan fight.
Okay, yeah. That was a really good fight.
And Yagan, I know that Hominick and Yagan, I know Yagan looked a little bit shorter than Hominick. Maybe it was, turns out maybe it was the camera angle because Hominick is just an inch taller than Yagan. But just seeing a guy like Eddie just be able to defeat Hominick in the way that he did, I know it was a split decision. It was a very tough match to call, but just seeing these two people fight was just unbelievable.
Well, see, the best part of the night for me was, this is going to be an inside joke so our fans won't get it, was quarters.
Yeah, quarters.
Okay, so let's put
best
it this way.
We were just,
I don't know, I just came up with it last second. I had change in my pocket and I spread it out to everybody and I said, hey, let's play quarters.
Alright, so basically what we did was, yeah, we're all sitting there, it's prelims were on, we're eating, you know, we're a little bit kind of bored.
It's kind of hard to split up quarters, it's a bitch.
Yeah. It is. I think for next time we gotta like pre-prepare for it.
We should do nickels.
Nickels or pennies or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But our waitress was awesome.
She was.
I have to say, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings.
And she didn't hurry us along. You know, we got there at like 7 o'clock.
7:30-ish or something. Well, no, somewhere around there. We got a table by 7:45.
Yeah, we had a table by 7:45.
Which was lucky because when we sat down, there was just the big ass line that popped up out of nowhere for all the other people.
But I mean, we left there at about midnight and she didn't hurry us at all. She kept on making sure we were all set. So that's why, you know,
I gave her the best possible tip I could possibly give her.
Yes, we gave
bucks.
her.
I'm sorry, that sounds so cheap. I would give her 100 because she was so awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like our tab was super expensive either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we had a $100 tab and we gave her, you know, 40%.
Exactly.
That's a, you know,
for that's some reason, decent.
Especially for a bunch of, you know,
slackers.
Young people.
Slackers.
Right.
I'm a slacker.
Yeah, you a little bit.
I am a slacker now. I've given up.
But is that it for sports?
Well, there are a couple fight cards coming up really soon that I'm looking forward to.
I know we got Cage Titan coming up next week.
Yes. You have Cage Titans, which, if you see the movie Safe, watch very closely because there's a scene with a TV with some MMA fights on that is actually from Cage Titans. Which is Perry versus Douse. It's kind of hilarious. And we have the MMA Expo coming up on May 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, at the end of May, there's actually the UFC fights with the main card, all heavyweight, which will feature Dos Santos versus Mir. You'll have Cain Velasquez fighting Anderson.
No.
Antonio Silva.
There you go.
It also had like Mark Hunt versus Stefan Struve. So, I mean, these are going to be great fights. So, check them all out. All right, we can move on.
All right. So.
You have to go break your toilet.
All right, so okay, so maybe we can move on to this quickly because we got like 10 minutes left.
Okay.
What happened when we have plenty of time?
That went when we did the sports segment.
Your mama.
So we took a listen to the new album from Jack White. As you know, Jack White's was the lead singer of the White Stripes, the frontman for the Raconteurs, the drummer for the Dead Weather, produces a lot of stuff.
He has his finger in a lot of pies. Let's just say it that way. I don't know how he does it, but he's a freaking mad man.
And each pie is tasty, too.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part.
I mean, I have to say, like, at least... I liked a good percentage of this album when we were listening to it.
Yeah, Blunderbuss.
Blunderbuss. Is this his first, like, single album?
Yeah, his first solo album.
Sorry, solo album. My bad.
So, what were your initial thoughts going into this album? Because there's like a whole lot of genres that are just meshed in on this CD.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. Since I haven't been like, you know, in my official truck, you know, my nemesis truck when I'm driving around and stuff like that, so I usually just hook up my phone that has my music on it, and I just hook it up to my crappy little FM radio transmitter.
Yeah.
And listen to my music that way. But since I've been driving around my other vehicle and stuff like that, I've been listening to the radio a lot more. And when we popped in the CD, fourth song in.
Love Interruption, I think you're thinking
about. Yeah, Love Interruption. I heard that one on the radio, and I was just like, that was Jack? Holy crap. And I like that song, actually. It's a really good song.
I Want Love to Murder My Own Mother. And
yeah, exactly.
Drag Her Down to Hell or Up Above. I Want Love to Take My Fingers into a Doorway and Smash Them.
Yeah, that too. Then there's... I can't remember the other song that I was talking about. There was another one. Oh, my God.
Well, there was 16 Saltines, which, like... That's, like, the type of track that, like, spits in your face and fucks your girlfriend in front of you.
Yeah, well, every morning I deliver the news. Black hat, white shoes, and I'm red all over. She's got a pink mailbox that she puts out in front, garbage in, garbage out. She's a whore.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I like it.
I think there's one track, I think, called Freedom of 21. Yes, it's called Freedom of 21. I feel like that one's a song that's going a little bit against his former White Stripe Meg White, about like cutting off the soles of his feet, making him walk in salt.
Cut off the bottoms of my feet, made me walk on salt. Take me down to the police, charge me with the assault. Smile on her face, she does what she wants. Yeah, that sounds... No, I don't know. It just sounds like domestic violence all together.
Because he said that Meg was the one that was in control of the White Stripes.
You know what? I have to really say that women usually wear the pants in the relationship nowadays. There's no 1950s anymore, man. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. When the guy tries to take over and the woman fights back, yeah, hey, you watch out.
Yep. And then there was that cover he did of that song, I'm Shaking, where he's talking about being nervous.
Nervous?
You were talking about the backup singers in there. You kind of like picture them doing that little whoo type of thing with their hands while they're singing the lines.
Oh, so, okay, so more or less this is a person on a crack binge.
Probably. Well, it was written in 1950, so a lot of those songs were tongue-in-cheek, secretly about drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love the piano part in the song, I Guess I Should Go to Sleep. It's got this sort of really nice lullaby vibe to it. And here, Anvil coming back out from breaking the toilet.
Yeah. Spirit's still fucking running. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still trying to look at it. I mean, I'm looking through the songs, trying to remember them off the top of my head. But yeah, a lot of these, you know, they were pretty good. I want to say I liked about 80% of this. There's 13 songs on the album altogether.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good considering. I mean, but he's also just the madman himself. Like, I watched a couple of, like, I watched a video on just one of those random music things, and he was in it.
Yep.
And he made a blues guitar.
Out of a Coke can, right?
It was like... No, he used a Coke can to use that to make the noise.
Yeah.
But he made it out of like a box and a string, and he turned it into an electric guitar. It was amazing. He just did it like right in front of him. He's like, here, this is how you make it, like a traveling electric guitar. And he just put it all together right in front of the camera and just started playing it on an amp. And I was like, what the hell? And I was like, this guy's a MacGyver with a, you know, bubble gum and a shoestring or something like that. It was ridiculous.
You know, I personally think there wasn't a bad track on this album. I feel like they range from good to great.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the whole thing about this is, like, when I listen to music and stuff like that, there's those songs that you know that are just that damn good that you know they're just going to be keep playing on the radio. And
yeah.
He's got two. I know that he's got at least two on this album.
Yeah, there's that.
That I keep playing on the radio.
There's Love Interruption, and then there's 16 Saltines that are.
Yeah, those are the two that keep playing on the.
16 Saltines?
Yeah, you ever seen a music video for that?
Saltine Crackers.
There's a kid that's all painted in blue, and it looks like he's trying to murder Jack White.
Nice. Yeah, great, fantastic.
And a lot of other random stuff happening in it too.
Oh, it's Jack White. There's got to be random shit happening.
Of course, I mean, but on this, you know, CD, it's actually sounded really good. And we all know I'm not a White Stripes fan, and I'm usually not a fan, but I actually like this.
He doesn't like Canadians.
He's from Detroit.
That's Canada.
Close enough.
That's close to close.
He drops the shit and lands in Canada.
Yeah.
He hopped a loogie across, you know, right into the country.
Okay, he so explain to me why the White Stripes did a Canadian only like tour at one point.
Well, that was what they were trying to do. Is they wanted to play in every single city they've never played in Canada.
Right.
Yeah, because they're
Canadian.
They wanted to tear their home country.
Exactly.
They hear "Oh Canada," they tear up. They are also.
I know we're busting balls. Shut up.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But I like this album. I think it's great. I think when 2012 comes to a close, it'll probably be on my top 20 albums
of
2012.
If I can remember it, yeah.
I'll give it a 4.7 out of 5. I thought it was I'm really looking forward to seeing him tour again, perform live, because what he's doing is each night he's going to do something different. He's either going to have a backup band of all guys or a backup band of all girls. And he's not going to decide until the morning of that show.
Wow, so I just have to work for him.
Yeah, no shit.
So
it's like, oh, am I working tomorrow?
All right, guys, get in there. Get in there, guys.
So there's a type of spot nudity that's going to be happening on that tour. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it. So what can you give this album?
Okay. Like I said, I like the 80% of the album and whatnot. You know, I mean, 4.3 probably out of 5 right now. I could give this album. I bet if I listen to it enough, that I'll be like, I love every song on this son of a bitch album. You know, it's one of those things where the more I listen to it, the more I like it, and then the more I listen to it, and the more I'm like, I go up to other people and like, you haven't heard this song? You must hear it, and I will brainwash thee. And then I stick headphones on them and I play it multiple times. And then
you mean like what we used to do at the radio station?
Exactly. Well, except we weren't able to really play it in that succession. We were only we'd play it, and then we played like a month later or something like that.
Yeah, because we wanted to have variety. We didn't want to be one of those radio shows that played the same songs over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. Randomness is good.
Yes.
Anvil, you're on a little mini road trip listening to this album.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay. As respectable as that is.
Yep.
Better than the last one that I gave him a taco truck last time.
Now, would that be the taco truck from Machete or the taco truck from, I don't know, Hell's Kitchen?
The old one was Hell's Kitchen. This one would be from Machete. Oh, and for those that don't know, there's going to be a Machete 2.
Yet in space.
Actually, speaking of that son of a bitch, there's another movie he just did that...
Badass.
Badass. It's about the guy who's that Vietnam vet.
Oh, Lord.
And he's on the he's on the bus, and the kid started messing with him, and he knocked him out. And it kind of turns into almost like Machete, basically. I want to say it's almost like Machete because from the video, the trailer that I watched, but... You can watch it now, I guess, on Xbox for a little bit longer. You can rent it or something like that, but it's kind of ridiculous on the Xbox points.
Yes.
But I guess it's in theaters somewhere. It's limited. I think it's limited, but it's going to be in theaters.
We can look into that one.
I think you can always look into it.
I like him in, you know, the new commercial, too.
Which one?
Staying in school and stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
Uh-huh. When he's like the ultimate badass.
Danny Trejo says, stay in school or you will stab your face in.
Well, I love how they have Deborah Jo Rupp, who's this feeling. Hold on. Danny? No, Daniel, can you help with this one?
Sure. I'm going to kill you, kid, if you don't go to school.
Oh, you're going to listen now, aren't you?
Can I have the sweet old lady back?
No.
Okay. So, let's wrap up this episode.
You know I got caller ID, kid. I can find you.
I'm already on my way to your house. I'm using my headset.
Visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts,
and videos. You're laughing because you're trying to talk.
Let's try it again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bossofbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Anvil's on at anvil63, and Blonic is on at Blonic. I don't remember what Tegs is. He can tell me next time.
877-962, I don't know.
877-6309. Yeah,
No. Oh, that's an old song.
Not old enough.
There you go.
We're also on Facebook. And put your nipples away.
They are away. Yeah, well,
all right. Anyways, we got Facebook. You go on there. You could go on our page and like us on there and get all the news updates that we go and put on there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, we have ourselves up on Ustream. So if you could find us that way, or you could find us through the our page and whatnot, so you can kind of see some of the videos that we've put up for our live podcast. I think that's pretty much all I have to say right now. Go ahead, Anvil.
Check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, The Vagabonds, TPSMMA.com.
Dead Hookers in a Gutter. I don't know where we came up with that one. That was good.
Nice. Matt the Wad.
Matt the Wad again.
That's really it.
Cage Titans.
Well, yes, Cage Titans. But AFO.
TPSMMA.com.
I just said that.
I don't care. I'm saying it again.
Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us for your questions and comments, you can get a hold of me at Anvil at BostonBastBrigade.com, Bluonic at BostonBastBrigade.com, and KingBabyDuck at BostonBastBrigade.com.
Correct.
We will always get back to you, so feel free to ask us.
It might take us a month, but we'll get back to you.
I check mine on a daily basis.
Right. I think we're done here.
Okay.
And remember, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps.
We are
the Bastards.
Son of a bitch, you stole my line.
I didn't take it too long.